John chapter 1. Today, we're going to start considering Jesus and the angels. This is a glorious study, and it shall last us at least 3 weeks in the will of God. So John chapter 1, and let me tell you in advance that what I'm reading from the New Testament, I could read to you just as well from the Old Testament. This is a double testimony. Everything that I'm reading to you this morning is written again in the New Testament from the Old Testament. It's quoted directly or it is referred to. John chapter 1, and look at verse 50. Nathanael has just called our Savior the Son of God, the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee underneath the fig tree, do you believe? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you shall see the heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. I could have read you that from Genesis chapter 28. Now turn back to Matthew 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And verse 5. Then the devil taketh him into the holy city, and he set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou art the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And on their hands they shall bear thee up, lest perchance thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, Again it is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And now Hebrews 1, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4. A remarkable thing that must be acknowledged and explained concerning the Lord Jesus, this glorious one, it says, He has been made better than the angels, as He hath inherited a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels saith He at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the firstborn into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he says, He makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. But of the Son, he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And look in chapter 2, verse 5. For not unto angels did he subject the world to come whereof we speak, but one hath somewhere testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownedst him with glory and honor, and didst set him over all the works of thy hands, thou didst put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he subjected all things unto him, He left nothing that is not subject to him. But now, we see not yet all things subjected to him, but we see Jesus, who has been made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, how glorious and how incomprehensible are the things spoken concerning your Son. And yet all of them are true. Who can understand the Son? Did not he himself say, No man understands the Father, can know the Father except the Son, and he to whomsoever he reveals him, and no man understands the Son save the Father. And our God, what little knowledge we have of him must come as a direct revelation from Thee. We are thankful that You, O God, shrouded in mystery, unapproachable, a glorious God, yet Thou dost reveal Thyself unto man, and You sent forth Your Son, and You have revealed Yourself to us through Him. We thank You for that. We desire to know about this Son and those that are associated with Him from the Scriptures and others that we've read this morning. So by Thy Spirit, prepare the hearts of all who are here. Let them understand that these, though spoken by men, are the words of God, and empower and glorify Thy Son. And we confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, as You had promised, as we commit all into Thy hands for blessing, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. You would be hard put to find any place in the Bible where it says that God created the angels. For this reason, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. You say, well, then He began by creating the heavens and the earth. No, because when you read in Job chapter 38, we learn there that when He did create the heavens and the earth, God asked Job, where were you when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? And He tells us there that before He created this material universe, He created these invisible, immaterial beings, these spirit beings called angels. And He did it for this reason. Even though you and I never saw an act of creation, all His angels did. And they are there looking at nothing. And God says, let there be light. And there is light. And God said, let this universe come into being. And it came into being. And it said that when His angels saw it, they shouted for joy. They sang. They rejoiced. Why? They are looking at the Creator bring everything into existence. A glorious thing. And the Lord Jesus, when He was on earth, He never created anything when He was on earth. But again, God enlightens us, and He tells us concerning this Son in Colossians that all things were made by the Lord Jesus Christ, whether visible or invisible. And then He speaks about these angelic beings, because these angelic beings have different positions in God's creation. He created all things, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things have been created by Him and for Him. And so the Lord Jesus, in His pre-incarnate glory, is the Creator of all of these angelic beings. So anything that the Father wanted to have created, He did it through the Son. All things were made by Him, and apart from Him was not anything made that has been made. Now, here is what is so contradictory. The Creator who made the angels, in the fullness of time, is set forth, born of a woman, and made a little lower than the angels. Now, who can comprehend such a thing? But this is the teaching of the Word of God. That is why, when some would deny that Jesus Christ is God, they have failed to understand that the things spoken of Him that seem to infer that He's less than God, why, if He's lower than the angels, and the angels are lower than God, then He cannot be God. I will show you how wrong that is as we go along. But it is true. And therefore, when the Savior says, my Father is greater than I, do not hide, do not evade, the Lord Jesus said, my Father is greater than I. And the Father and the psalmist says, the Lord Jesus was made a little lower than the angels. So there is Christ before His incarnation, and there is Christ after His incarnation. And before His incarnation, His relationship to the angels is that of their Creator. and they are worshiping him in heaven. You'll find in Isaiah chapter 6 that some of these angelic beings are called seraphim. Some are called cherubim. But these seraphim in heaven are saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." You say, that's not talking about Jesus. But it is. Because John tells us in chapter 12 that Isaiah saw his glory and he spoke of him, the Lord Jesus. And so the angels that he created, who saw him create this universe from that day forward, were agents to praise and glorify and worship and adore the one who made. But in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made, born of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. You ask, well then, when he became man, did he cease to be God? Absolutely not. Because that is why I took time to read all of these scriptures to show you that when it says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. When the Lord Jesus became man, he did not cease to be God. As it says in 1 Timothy 3, he is God manifest in the flesh. And it says in Colossians, in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And therefore, the Lord Jesus is incomprehensible because you look at him, and the only thing that the natural eye can see is a man. But they understood that when this man spoke to them, he made claims that were blasphemous. And he said, how is that? They said, because you, being a man, they could see that, make yourself God. Why? Because he called God his own Father, making himself equal with God. And they understood it perfectly. And what I hasten to ask myself is this. Because one man told me once, when I said, let us pray together, he said, I'm not going to pray with you because you are going to pray to a man as if he were God. I'm going to pray to a man, not as if he were God, but because he is God. And what I do when I pray to this man, I'm not praying to man alone, but the God-man, Christ Jesus. And our Savior, who is inscrutable, tells us the two things about himself in John chapter 8. He is speaking to those who supposedly have believed on him, and he says this to them. He said, but now you seek to kill me, a man who told you all the truth. Think of that. Did you know that Jesus called himself a man? He said, you seek to kill me, a man who told you all the truth. So Jesus said, I am a man. Then he's not God. At the end of the chapter, he says, before Abraham was, I am. And this man says, I am the eternal. I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the first and the last. I am the beginning and the end. And therefore the Lord Jesus in one breath can say, I am man. And in the next breath he can say, I am the eternal one. I am that one that is spoken of in Exodus chapter 3 when Moses says, who are you? Whom shall I say sent me? And he said, Eye Asher Eye, tell them I am sent you. And the Lord Jesus said, before Abraham was born, he said, I am. And they understood perfectly what he meant. And so the one that was made a little lower than the angels, as to his humanity, in no way ceased to be God, but he was God manifest in the flesh. And in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so this being who is walking upon earth can experience hunger, thirst, weariness, all the emotions of man, but at the same time he can seek and receive as his due the worship that can never be given to any man. And that is why and how I know that the Lord Jesus indeed is God. You'll look and search diligently to find abundance of references where Jesus ever called himself God. And if I ask you, where did Jesus say, I am God, in those words, you're not going to be able to tell me. He said, God is my own Father. He made himself equal with God. He said, I am. He took the title and the attributes of God, which is doing more than saying, I am God, because God speaks of his creatures as, I said, you are gods. But when the Lord Jesus claims the attributes of deity, he is saying more than just the words, I am God. He is claiming to be one with the Father. Listen to these words. Our Savior, in John chapter 17, is looking upon his own. And he says, Father, I will that those whom you have given me be with me where I am, because you love me before the foundation of the world. A man with man's lips, these are speaking the words, but at the same time, he is inseparable with, you love me before the foundation of the world. And so you cannot destroy the person of Christ. He is one, the God-man. And for that reason, what he said concerning himself is backed up, corroborated, attested by the Father as well, and that is why I read to you in Hebrews chapter 1. The author of Hebrews delights to compare the Lord Jesus to any created being in God's universe. And so this is what he says. Yes, he has been made to inherit, he's been given a name better than they. So this is speaking of Christ after his exaltation. In Philippians 2, it speaks of his humiliation. It says, Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, yea, the death of the cross. And after that, in his glorious resurrection, it says, wherefore God also highly exalted him, and gave unto him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and this is the word Jehovah, to the glory of God the Father. And so, indeed, he did inherit a name. He was made better than the angels. Why? Because the Lord Jesus said, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straightened? How am I fenced in? I cannot expand until it be accomplished. But that baptism occurred on the cross of Calvary, and now he is no longer straightened, but he fills the universe. And now the Lord Jesus is that one, and you can understand, as to his humanity, he has been glorified and exalted. And the Father asks this question. Unto which of the angels did the Father say at any time, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet? Never did he say that to an angel, because he might say to the angels, fall in worship at my feet. That would be in order to them. But to the Son, he says, sit at my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. And he said, unto which of the angels said he at any time, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And here the Father, God, calls the Son, God. And so what can man say? And all the angels that are exalted and glorified by men, and some worship angels, the Father says, he never gave them that instruction. There was only one whom he gave instruction to be worshipped. It says, when he bringeth his firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. And so you are telling me, that if I worship the Lord Jesus Christ, the firstborn, that I'm sinning, that it's blasphemy? The Father himself said, when the firstborn comes into the world, let every angel of God worship him. The Father has instructed every angel to worship the Son. This is what he says in John chapter 5. The Father hath determined that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father who sent him. And this is what men fail to understand. That this honor that the Father wants the Son given, it isn't an honor equal to him. Well, may I ask you, what honor is greater than falling at one's feet and worshiping? You say there is no higher honor. And the Father said concerning angelic beings, and this is from Psalm 97, let all the angels of God worship him. The Father has commanded that he be worshipped because he is God the Son, who in the beginning was with the Father. He was glorious with the Father before the world was. And therefore, when he comes into the world, he is no less God. And the Father says to the angels, let all the angels of God worship him. And this is the great distinction between any other man and the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is one of the proofs, though he never said, I am God. He made claims to the attributes of deity because he is God and he was God, but he was going to show man that he was God by his demeanor in the world. Twice in the book of Revelation, John, the beloved apostle, is so awed, overpowered by the glory of what the angel showed him and told him. He said, I set at his feet to worship him. And the angel said, see, thou do it not. He said, worship God. And he did it again. He was so overcome. And the angel said, worship God. Now, what I've done is to look at men when men would worship them. And when they would worship Peter, Cornelius fell at his feet to worship Peter. Peter said, stand up. He said, I am a man just like you are. Stand up. He refused worship. And at the same time, when the one that was healed, that was lame in his feet, when the inhabitants of the city saw that he was healed miraculously, they were going to offer sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas. And they rent their garments and said, no, worship God. But every time, in the life of our Savior, when any man, no matter how great or how little understanding he had of what he was doing, it says that they fell down and worshiped him. And the Lord Jesus never spoke a word of reprimand when they worshiped him with all the understanding they had, because he was God, that is why. And he accepted the worship on earth of men as he had accepted the worship of every created being in heaven from all eternity. And here is something that man failed to understand. In Revelation chapter 5, it says, worthy is the Lamb that has been slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And it says that the angelic beings and every created being said, unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And then they fell down and worshiped them both. And so you say that Jesus Christ is not God, and that the Father is jealous and would have men to worship him. Isn't this remarkable? He has exalted him and placed him at his own right hand, and he's commanded all the angels to worship him. And then in Revelation 5, if you look at the text fully, you'll find that all the beings in heaven worship the Father jointly with the Son. And yet, it says that he was made a little lower than the angels. The first scripture I read to you was showing just why he was made that low. But even though made lower than the angels, he was not man alone, because he accomplished in his divine humanity, in his incarnate humanity, he accomplished something that was impossible for any mere man to do. When Jacob was running away from home because he had stolen his brother's birthright, he got back from a mess of pottage, and then he stole the blessing from his brother. He was fleeing for his life because Esau said, I'm going to kill him. My father's going to be dead soon, and I'm going to kill him. And so he was fleeing for his life. But when he left Haran, he was on his journey to his relative, his uncle Laban, and night overtook him. And he lay down and found a rock and put it under his head for a pillow. And that night he had a dream. And in that dream, he saw a ladder placed upon earth that reached all the way to heaven. And upon that ladder, he saw the angels of God ascending and descending. And when he woke up, he said, how horrible is this place? He said, this is the house of God. He said, this is the gate of heaven. Now, the Lord Jesus takes that portion from Genesis 28 and he applies it to himself. The Lord Jesus is many things. He said, I am the door. He is spoken of as the Lamb of God. He says, a greater than Solomon is here. But our Savior in Genesis chapter 28 takes that dream of Jacob and he says, Jacob had a ladder that was on earth and it reached all the way to heaven. Who ever heard of a ladder so long? And yet there was one in Jacob's dream. And it says that above it all, God was there, and he was talking with Jacob. Now think, at last, there is a connection between earth and heaven, and it is this ladder. What can that mean? The Lord Jesus tells Nathanael what it means. He says, Nathanael, do you marvel because I told you the secrets of your heart when you were under the fig tree? He said, you shall see greater things than these. You shall see the heavens open, and you'll see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. The Lord Jesus said, I am that ladder. And I want you to understand that there was only one possible way that sinful, alienated men on earth can ever get into the presence of God in heaven, and that is by a ladder, and not a ladder made with hands, but that incarnate Son of God. And he is the one that Job cried out for and said it did not exist. Job is contending and complaining, and he says, God is not a man as I am, that I go and speak with him. He said, there is no umpire, there is no daysman, there is no connector between me and God that he could understand. But Job was wrong. The Lord Jesus would say, Job, I am that connector. I am the ladder that can reach from you on earth to my Father who is in heaven. And notice, the word angel means a messenger. They are messengers. And angels are going up that ladder with messages, and they're coming down that ladder with messages. And so now, the communication that was broken and the alienation that occurred when sin entered into the world. Now, that connection is joined again. And God can speak to man, and man can speak to God. And this great gulf fixed that no man can cover, no man can cross. The Lord Jesus said, I am a ladder that can go across that chasm now in this world. And that is why Jesus is so invaluable. And that is why Jesus had to be made a little lower than the angels. Why? It says in Hebrews chapter 2, quoting from Psalm chapter 8, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor. Why? That he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And so the Lord Jesus, who is God, becomes man, that he might die, that he might bear sins, that he might atone for all the destruction that Adam brought into the world. And he is that man, Christ Jesus. And Jesus is that ladder, and he can get you to heaven. There is no man or angel or any other being that can put together earth and heaven. But the Lord Jesus is that ladder, and therefore you trust him. This is what Jacob said. This is the gate to heaven. And the Lord Jesus said, well, I am the door. I am the entrance to heaven. Here is a ladder that goes to heaven. The Lord Jesus said, I am that ladder that gets you to heaven. You are alienated from God. The Bible says that Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree that he might bring us to God. Everything that you need is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God and the author of Scripture challenges, under which of the angels has God ever said these things? And the answer is to no angel. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And he wants to be your mediator. He wants to be your ladder to get you to heaven. So you trust him as your Savior. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we thank you for him who came down to earth and was made so low. And we are thankful that having become a man, God manifests in the flesh, that manhood has been embraced forever. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We are thankful that he is still the man Christ Jesus. And we shall see him face to face. We rejoice in that. So, Father, when he comes back again, may it be a face that we shall welcome. The face which we see, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. And may it not be that face that some who are his enemies shall see and say, hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, because the day of their wrath is come. And who is able to stand? Our Father, let us look into the face of Christ that loves us. In time, we pray. In his name. Amen.